Well, it's wonderful. My remark for him, tell him to go straight to hell, then he'll get healed. Peace. Peace. That's all right. Patty? You understand? You two talk to... Just, I'm not interested in all this shit. Somebody back there, they're sick. They want to tell me how to preach. I tell them, go to hell. That's what I tell them. I'm going to tell a few more of you to go to hell, too, if you don't get straight. Because, listen, I've come to give you my life. I've come to save you. This country is rocking and reeling. Right tonight, it's rocking and reeling. All your radios are blaring while you're sitting in here. They're blaring with the news that this government is going through crises that it's never gone through in all of its history. There is a confrontation. The generals are getting together with the president while you're sitting here. And we need Father. Very well. Very well. Not a nerve to me. A lot of nerve when I go without. Everything I can go without. Won't buy special things that I like. Eat regular old beef burger, pork burger, though I don't want you to eat it, because I've got more power than you, because pork you shouldn't eat. But I'll eat the cheapest old stuff I can find, because I don't like to waste any money. I could get better things, and I don't. Well, I mean, I could get better food. I could get a whole lot of better things. I could have comfort. I don't have any comfort in what little things that one likes to have. No one even gives it any concern. Little peace. I like a little peace, and people don't give you any peace, so I've got over that. It won't let you have a minute. It won't let you get in the corner, even. Got somebody being on your back. Had just a moment just before service, just a little bit, a minute. And anyone could tell that I needed to have a moment alone, but they didn't give me a moment alone. So I just get used to it. That's the price you pay. Because I love you. And I will pay whatever I have to pay to save you. I'll pay it all. Pay the last measure of my devotion. But I am tired of half-assed people coming in here trying to tell me how to run the business. You come all the way from Madeira to get here. So what? If people really knew what they had here, they ought to come all the way from Brazil, South America. Peace. Well, now, some of you evidently don't know what has taken place today. I have prepared this land as best I can, this house, the house of Jones. I've prepared it. I prepared our food supply in our cave. I prepared clothing and supplies of a medical nature. This week we are purchasing a kidney machine, because 20,000 people die every year because they can't get a kidney machine. We've got generators when the electricities fail. But if you have to leave this land temporarily, all the things we've got up there for the emergency on that 16th at 309 won't do us any good until we get out to save our ass. We're going to have to get out and then be able to come back after the system falls. Now, what's happened today? Do you know? Well, I'll tell you. The special prosecutor of the United States appointed by the Congress in consultation with the president was fired by the president this morning, Prosecutor Cox. Upon that, the Attorney General of the United States had to resign, and he never was very much in the first place. But it was even too much for him. He said he couldn't go along with the lawlessness, and he resigned. Thereupon, the assistant prosecutor, who I knew in Indianapolis, he wouldn't even stand up for integration. He was a councilman. He fought my appointment to be the governmental director of the Civil Rights Commission. He fought me. He had no more care than that. But he's got enough concern that he didn't want to go along with dictatorship. And the assistant prosecuting attorney said, I refuse to fire Mr. Cox. And Mr. Nixon fired the assistant attorney general, Ruckelshaus, Congressman Ruckelshaus from Indiana. The nation is in upheaval. The order came from, and Mr. Cox told you, and the nation's blaring with it, and the radio station's saying it, but they say no one cares. All the thing that people care about is what's happening to the A's in the World Series. No one gives a damn. And they said the order came from General Haig. The martial order came from General Haig for the dismissal. First, for him to stop investigating the president. Then the order came for his dismissal from General Haig. And they called him, no longer did they call him by his first name, they called him what he is, General Haig. You saw Z last week. Z means he's alive, our freedom's alive. In Greece, we cannot even use the word Z. The letter Z cannot even be used in Greece. How many saw the film? How many did not see the movie that we had to purchase because it's not freely available? Then we must have another time for you to see it. How many did not see it? It's a movie in very beautiful form, Technicolor, of the actual events that took place in the overthrow of the Greek democracy, where democracy was birthed, where it was cradled, where we found freedom. And our government did it. Agnew had connections there, and there are two other aides that are still in authority, and General Haig is one of them that was involved in the Greek overthrow. And those bastards are now in the high echelons of your government. You're getting ready for a coup d'etat. You're getting ready for a military takeover. That's what you're getting ready for. Congressman Ruckelshaus fired, Attorney General Richardson gone, Prosecuting Attorney Cox fired. Why does he fire all these people? Well, that's not if he's not guilty. If he were guilty, why is he firing them? Because he knows the guns are backing him up. The military might of the Pentagon is backing him up. And if they push him too far in the corner, he will use all those legislations that I have given you out there on the counter, free executive order 11490 and 11647. He will bring in the most terrible dictatorship. It's already here, really, but he'll just put it into practice. Then you tell me that we should not get land abroad, that we should not get a means of getting out of this land. Say, well, God won't let it. This jackass outside, God's going to take care of every crisis. I come to get healed. Well, he'll get healed when he gets out of the hell of a state of mind he's in. I'm not going to deal with anybody like that. I don't want them here. Don't want people like that here at all. Got to narrow this thing down. I've got to take care of you. I've pledged to take care of you from the cradle to the great transition. And I have done so. No one's ever been without a home. Last night I took a little boy, gave him a home when they were beating him with gangs, or threatening him with gangs, gave a dear sister that had no place. I gave her a home, and I do it in every service. I take care of you in every way, in every need. Anything you have, if you lose your home, if you're faithful, if you're losing your home, it's been saved, whatever. Woman this week going to jail. I raised the money on Wednesday night. Peace. No clapping. Only egotists need clapping. I don't have any ego left. It's all dead. I'll use your religion. You still use it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Christ means the revolution or the anointing. I'm crucified for the anointing or the revolution. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, the ego of Jim Jones, but the revolution or the Christ lives in me. Don't talk to me about what I'm doing. When I have to sit here and face this demanding crowd, and there's nothing so demanding as some people. Some of you are angels. I would be with you a million years and I'd never tire. Oh, I would tire in the sense that to protect you is an awful job, because you need to have someone to protect you. But it annoys me that you will sit and criticize when I have to know just exactly even when to die. I'm here in principle. 2 weeks ago I showed you when I called the young man up in the audience, put my mind in him, and he called out the sister and healed her of deafness, the ear infection, right there she is. Another sister, back injury or something, or cancer. Healed him, told him every one of my thoughts. I sent them to him, and he called her out. Why did I do that? Why? So that you would always have someone here, because my mind will not die. It's socialistic. It cannot die. It has evolved to a transmission state that I will always be with you. I'll always be able to speak to you. Same thing with Jesus. People said Jesus come out of the tomb. That's a lie. It's just a lie like all the other lies about King James. King James is full of lies. I said, your Bibles you now have, it's full of lies. Peace. And here's why I tell you it's full of lies. How many are new here tonight? How many are new? Bless your hearts. 20 people in the house are new. You're precious. You're important. I don't usually come on like a cyclone either, so take heart. Take heart. I'm a gentle friend. Get in trouble and find out. People, peace. There are 20 or so now that have been had records that have been removed because of me. I got them, the records removed. Because in this country, it's not what you know. It's not how good you are. It's who you know. It's a dirty, rotten system we've got. And I have to work within it to save you, to help you. It's filthy, rotten to the core. This thing is a cancer. It's not, they used to say, we got to cut the cancer out. Honey, if you cut the cancer out of America, you'd have to kill it. The cancer's no longer in the breast or the productive organ of the body. It's no longer wherever you call produce. It's not in the pubic area, or it's not in the female breast. It's not just localized. The cancer spread to the brain, and it's in to every cell of the whole system. It's up into the highest levels of government. Spiritual wickedness in high places. It's infiltrated every leader, every politician. The radio said, Senator Kennedy said just before I came in, a nation of law has ceased to exist. The nation of justice has ceased to exist. Ruckelshaus, who I knew as a segregationist, said, I cannot go along with lawlessness. Cranston says the president defies the law of the land. He's been ordered by the courts to turn over his tapes, and he will not. Because, of course, if he did, you would find that he has murdered, he has killed, he has destroyed more people than any person in our history. He brought a plane down in Chicago to get rid of Mrs. Hunt. Your local examiner told you that. And the examiner, it's a dirty sheet. But it told you that even. 3 days serial told you how a plane was brought down by Nixon and the secret police, the secret service. How they brought down a plane and how many lives were burned alive so they could reach in and get the papers, steal the papers, and let the people burn to death. All these things had come out. And the courts ordered them to give those tapes because even people can't even defend themselves without those tapes. And he refuses. He absolutely refuses. He doesn't care who he fires. And that's the way it's going on and on and on. Till finally, if the Supreme Court gives him an order, he said he will not take it. He would do what Lincoln did. He would remove the rights, establish habeas corpus, remove habeas corpus. He told you right on the TV what he would do. Said he wouldn't take it. No one has to be forewarned. He's already warned you. I didn't get up to talk about this, but I started to heal someone. And then I recognize that you don't like to come to church because you don't like to see us raise money. Well, why don't you just stay at home and go to the concentration camps? That's what you'll do. You've got a delusion, you know. Illusion, delusion. It's a delusion of grandeur. You believe that you're going to be whisked away in the golden chariot and going to flip out on some lightning bolt, land in heaven in a pearly white city with 12 gates. That isn't enough to even get the few eagles that are left in the land in. 12 gates wouldn't even be able to accommodate all the eagles that are left, and they've nearly been destroyed. That's what they say heaven's going to be. King James says there's only going to be 12 gates to the city. City four square. That's a city, and you measure up the cubics of it. Oh, God, I tell you, people are so insane. I don't know how they stand themselves. We've listened to this manure called religion till I don't think there's any hope for folk. I really think it's hopeless. I think we ought to go out and start a business. Get in business and try to raise some money because it's hopeless coming to church. I wanted to give you something that I thought was essential, and I don't seem to have it. I'm taking my time tonight. If you don't like it, you go home. Measure that heaven of Revelations, and you'll find that the heaven that King James talks about will fit in comfortably to the downtown section of San Francisco. Now, where are you going to put all these people in a city four square with 12 gates to the city? Where are you going to put them all? It's just like this thing about hell. Who's got that quotation on hell? Look at my satchel and look at my red book. If you can take statistics, I had you make up several of those, but I don't know what the folks did with them. No, it's not a newspaper. It's a little clipping, that's right. Someone photostated several of them all. No, that's not it. That is important. It's about hell, and it's so important we ought to have it typed up. First, have Carol stall that. Find it, will you? Because you really need one of those. They ought to be copied and given to everybody in the whole place. Yeah, yeah. It actually... Shift yourself just a minute. I don't want to go into the Bible to read it tonight and prove it to you, but anyway, it describes in Ezekiel the heat of hell. And in Revelations, the or vice versa, the heat of heaven. And it talks where brimstone, you know, and that forms the sulfur heat is something like 833 degrees Fahrenheit, where heaven's heat is described seven times as the heat of the sun. No, not that. 7 days of the sun. Well, it's not important. You don't need to disprove it. All you do is just read one page of it, and you got all the proof you need. Well, that's nice. Yeah, I got it. I know the temperature. One of them was 900 degrees Fahrenheit. If you take the Bible, heaven is actually hotter than hell, rather. Just measure it by the temperatures that's given in the scientific thing. Well, they'll get it in a little bit. We always have new people, and new people are sometimes so potentially good. I had a woman last night that was in a holiness church. I came on so strong, but she saw these healings after the end of my... Oh, and I did talk strong last night. You haven't had anything yet. You just relax. You haven't had anything like I talked in Los Angeles, in our beautiful temple there, what I had to say about religion and God and heaven and hell. And the words I used, the adjectives to describe it, were awful, awful strong. Anyway, she'd sit down there and three or four times gulp like she was going to swallow her teeth. But finally she was healed. I gave her some liquid in conjunction with that, healed her of a very deathly disease. She joined the church. And she understood it. Because at the end of the meeting, she gave me a comment that showed me she understood everything I preached. And I've been preaching for months and years to try to get through. And that holiness woman sitting down on the end of the row, about four rows back, she got it. And everybody else been around here for ages. I heard him up here tonight that said, Lord bless. Said, what did I say? What did the sister, one sister said? Glory to God. Wonderful God. Hallelujah to God. I don't like getting one of these meetings tonight. This is bad. Yeah, I got to do it. Spirit of Truth said within me, flip that thing, and if it comes up with the groove in the valley side showing of this button, I got to do it. So here we go, honey. Hold yourself. Oh, I hate to do this. First, will you do me the favor before I do it, because I'm going to tear hell out of this place. Now just remember, before I finish, last night in so doing, I don't know how many people were healed or were crippled. One woman had a condition removed from her spine, wasn't it? Her disc had been removed. She'd been left crippled. She had a cancer in her lung. It was healed instantly. She walked and danced without any trouble. The doctor said she had to have an operation. It was all taken away immediately. She'd had it for years. There was no remedy. Even if there was, it had to be surgery. But I remedied it in 1 second. How many were there and saw that? All right. Blindness. How many were there and saw it last night? Some weren't here. Some went with me on the bus. Some didn't. Everyone there saw it. Cancer, I don't know how many times. Breast cancer, all sorts of things healed. Beautiful things, beautiful things. But they came after I got finished saying what I had to say. And what I had to say was, as I said, I began the service mildly until I just said, "Dan." And then the woman on the third row I had to call out, who was acting, she had her knot in her hair and very straight and her sleeves down here, holy, you know, Bible in her lap. And she looked at me very judgmental. And I said, "Well, you this morning called your husband son of a bitch, so you're a hypocrite." So I never heard such talk in my life. Well, if you read back in the original scriptures, you'll see that Jesus did not say sons of hell to those that were in the money changers, the capitalists, the rich that were taking advantage of the poor. He said sons of bitches. You clean the outside of the platter, but inside it's filled with all kinds of damnable. And he said some other things. He used a word in the Hebrew, the Yiddish, that was horrendous. Yes, it's so. A word that compares to the word none of you like, and you use a finger to show it. Yes, it's so. A word that compares to the word none of you like, and you use a finger to show it. And it's not this finger. It's not this finger. It's not this finger. It's not that finger. And it's not that finger. So it leaves only one finger left. Jesus, you don't want Jesus back. Only a few of you precious ones here. They say they come in tonight. They want to know, they want to see me because they've heard I'm the Antichrist. Sure, they couldn't call me what I am, because if they did, their churches would empty out. All these liars, they've naturally got to talk against me because I'm the only honest thing left in the church. Peace. Well, I've got to do it, and I don't want to do it. Where's that letter killeth? Did you find that other damn thing? Well, look through all those things then. Could be, but I need something in there. The letter killeth. See, that's the I won't buy a satchel even. That thing is 15 years ago. Somebody was selling LaSalle books, LaSalle College correspondence. And they owed the church and me some money. And I said, "Give me your damn case." Praise him, hell. What was I discussing? I don't want to discuss it so badly that I want to forget it.
Letter killeth.
Oh, I know that letter killeth. I wish everybody else could know it by now. It's as plain as a nose on a damned elephant's face. Last time I looked at the elephant's trunk, it was pretty plain. Oh, I was saying something else before I begun that. Oh, yeah, they want to get healed. And I said, "You better get yourself braced in here, because if you want to get healed, and people get healed of more things than I've ever seen in my life or ever dreamed possible. Pictures that were brought up that had disappeared just through energy process, it's more effective than anything I ever saw. Eleanor Carpenter, 10 years in the wheelchair this week, come out of it. Well, on October 3rd, she came out of it. Been out of it ever since October 3rd, just using the process of the candle and synchronization, the law of synchronization, as Jung says. You understand how totally unrelated things can make a juxtaposition and actually bring about a phenomena. Well, we do a whole lot of totally unrelated things, because I'm totally unrelated to religion, but I heal more damn people than all the other prophets did were put together. You see, I'm not religious, and you folk are, and it's cramping me, and I didn't mind for 20 years I've gone through with this shit, but I've gone through with it, but now I've got to get you narrowed down to be able to take care of you. So shift your ass over there and stay awake. I got one glass full of water, and I'm going to fill it as many times as I need, and I'm going to drown you. I'm going to baptize your ass tonight if you don't stay awake. Because I'm tired of going over this stuff, and I don't want to hear nobody get up here anymore and tell me the Lord bless me, or no more of that. When I get through, I want it laid out to rest. I want you to get it, because I'm tired of hearing it. Say, why don't you want the word Lord used? Because it was put in by King James, who approved of slavery. Lord means master, owner of slaves. Lord of the house means a ruler that owns slaves and servants. All the people that work for him even own their bodies. I don't want to hear that damn dirty, filthy word. I would rather you call me a mother than call me a lord. The door swing out, honey. I'm honest. I've not taken any offering, and I don't get any of this offering tonight. It's only going for land. You can see the 40 acres of children's home up there. You can see the catfish pond that I've filled that looks like maggots on a gut wagon. Even Bishop Crane, all those years, president of the Baptist Churches of Texas, the treasurer, presently of all those hundreds of churches, he come up there talking about the Lord and all that shit, talking about the Bible, talking about going to heaven. He was in a wheelchair and he was blind. I healed him. Healed him just as sure he can read now. And he read that Bible and then saw what a lie it was. Hadn't been able to read it for a long while. One of the biggest pastors, because he was blinded. I healed his eyes, took him out of a wheelchair, got up there the first day. He said, if I can't be with you, can't stay in this beautiful valley where you've got all these senior citizen homes and all these convalescent centers and all these lovely homes for your people and dormitories and orphanages. He said, if I can't be with you, he said, I'll meet you up in the city. The golden city, the city four square. I said, I'll change him before he gets away from here. Bishop Crane got up the last night. He was saying, the last day he was talking about shit and damn, going to hell. Told somebody to go to hell. He told his wife to tell somebody to go to straight to hell in Texas. He's still pastoring down there, doing fine, too. And she's a Church of God and Christ evangelist, and she was just talking just like the rest of us. Shift your ass, but stay awake. Peace. You folks come back here, you come back here two nights in a row, and you're getting it. See some good friends I got over there. Bless their hearts. You're getting this. It's meant for you because you've got good souls and you've got to get this to be free. If you don't get this, you won't be free. If you don't get this, you're going to be lost. I mean lost with a capital L. And I don't know how to get it across to you. Because the mind's only supposed to be able to contain things so long. If I talk to you on the degree of my educational experience, that phony business, as a school teacher or a principal, give you the benefit of my so-called degrees in that mud shit they've got out in these colleges, you won't be able to understand me. And if I talk simple enough, Some of you are going to get bored, but I have to make the choice, you see, because some of the folk that don't have any education are the smartest. One woman came up to me last night and was healed. Another woman that was healed, she had been in a body brace. She took it off. This woman also joined the church, took her neck brace right off. Didn't even ask me. Just ripped it right off. Her neck was just fine. The woman that had been there one night, she came up and says, "Now, I want to understand you." And I'm saying it the way she did. She said it so beautifully. She says, "You say that God, if he did live, he's dead. I think you understand." It says, and if you go away, you're going to put your mind in somebody else, your socialist mind." She says, socialist mind in somebody else. And I thought, bless that dear heart. I said, "You can't read nor write, can you?" She said, "No." I said, "Blessed are you." Wisdom flowed out of her mouth. She understood everything I was saying. And I got people sitting here with master's degrees, teachers. I've got people here sitting with masters, and I've even got some with Ph.D. degrees. And they might as well have a degree in horseshit. I'd like to award a degree to some folk just in one area. The degree that shows you the difference between your ass and a hole in the ground. It's all right. Don't tell me how to talk, because your Bible, as I said, Paul, Solomon, all of them cussed. Solomon, great prophet, he was a type of God in the Old Testament. Talked about pissing over a wall. There's no purpose for it. He just said, he's just talking about who pissed the farthest. You don't have to go to Solomon to find that. Just go watch any little boy. These little boys get behind a chicken house. They'll show you that. They know. They do that every day. You don't have to go to Solomon to find out who pisses the farthest. That's what it's in there. He pisses over the wall. And it's degradation, degradation, filled with degradation. Best prophets in there, Lot. Spokesman to save Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I'll be damned. If that's all they save Sodom and Gomorrah for, they ought to let them all go up. Lot, they saved that damn town. He was always left. The new creation started with him, as it supposedly started with Noah. And what kind of a man was he? First angels come along, the Bible come along. The angels come drifting in. Flew in, and oh, he was entertaining angels, and a mob gathered outside, and they wanted the angels. Damn stories, nobody, they don't make any sense to anybody at all. So the mob said outside, "We want the angels." He said, "No, you can't have the angels, but take my daughters. They've never knew man. Take them and do with them what you want." Now, what kind of a man is that? A man of God. They say God, supposedly, in your Bible, saved Sodom and Gomorrah for an old shit like that. Peace. Don't need a clap. I know some of you don't feel like it, and the rest of you don't need to do it. I know you're good. Oh, you say, "Well, that wasn't so bad after all the angels." Well, the damn fools, if they were angels, why did he have to save them anyway? If they flew in, they could fly their ass out. Then on we go. Lot after that. Lot gets drunk, he says. And those daughters, he was determined his daughters were going to lose their virginity. And all through the Bible, you see prophets doing this all the time, laying with their daughters. And he laid with his daughters, both of them. So that's what the Bible said. Lot laid with both of his daughters, and his excuse was he was drunk. Let me tell you that no fool that can get that drunk that he doesn't know he's laying with his daughter. If you laid with your daughter, you wanted to. You weren't drunk. I don't give a shit who's here.
said they got six homeless people to come in here for several thousand miles. I don't give a damn. If you don't like honesty, then you can go back home, because I'm giving you the truth, and the truth will set you free. Never heard me talk like this before, but you never heard me raise so many people from the dead, cussing them out. I said, that holiness sister laying on the floor there dead this last service Sunday, I said, get your ass off that floor, God damn you. You can't die here. I said, your damn mind killed you anyway. I said, now get straight. And she did, bless her heart. She took it with all her holiness knot and her talking in tongues. And she got up, and I said, now because you had the right spirit, she was in an old brace clear down over her back. I said, take it off. And she took it off, and she was made every whit whole. Hey! These are some of the hard sayings that folk don't like. If you don't like hard sayings, then you didn't even like Jesus. He said you did. He said a lot of hard sayings. He cussed out the money changers, whipped their ass, throwed them out, threw upside the tables upside down, drove them outside, cussed them all the way out. I know. I'll give you three guesses how. You say you want Jesus to come. Shit, you do. You don't want Jesus to come. Sitting down there nervous, why don't you go home? Why don't you get your ass out of here? Why don't you go on home? You don't like it in here. Why don't you get your ass out? You know who I'm talking to, right down there looking at you. You hypocrite. Shit, if I'd done all the things you've done, I've been married to one woman for 25 years. I've had women that try to kid me, play me up, build me up, tell me how good looking, lie on, say how good looking I was and all that shit, and try to get me in bed. And I've never stole one woman from any man, not any man here that has to be afraid, because I've never gone to bed with any man's wife. I've never stole anybody's woman. You sitting down there don't like my cussing? Why, honey, I know all the shit you've been doing in the bed. I expect you are red now. You ought to be. Looking over the crowd. You talk to me about a little word like cuss word that Paul used and all of them used, dung. Dung means shit. And you get nervous about a word like that when that Bible is filled with brothers, prophets laying with their daughters, the most high prophets doing the most abominable things, Abraham, who was supposed to be the father of all, even Jesus. Abraham, Jesus is traced through Abraham. Abraham lied and had his wife say that he was her brother and went into the king, and the king made love with her, sex with her, intercourse with her, screwed with her, went on and done all those things. And the king finally found out. He said, what do? You let me lay with your wife And the king was supposed to be a heathen. He's supposed to be one of those black tribes that didn't have nothing but the sun god. We'd have been better off if we'd have stayed with the sun god and this Christian shit they've been heaping on us. And that king said, "What do you do to me?" And old Abraham said, "I want to save my life. So I had my wife lie." He made his wife go to bed. The father of all Christians and Jews, Abraham, the father of us all. Everybody's always talking about being Abraham's child. And he went to bed. That his wife going to bed with a king that she didn't want to go with. And he tried to get her to do it another time. My goodness, that Bible's full of it. I told you don't like it. You know where the door goes. It swings out. Got to get this. If you don't get it, you'll be in trouble. Terrible trouble. Because this is the thing that's going to lose your soul. Your soul is your body. The Bible is your enemy. The Word is your friend. The Word means truth. Now, I don't want any accidents to happen like last night. Everybody that moves, you will be on the ball. Here we have this thing, and you can get it. I'll give it to you. Honey, I would, if you would do it, I would kiss your bottom to get you to know the truth. I'm so tired of people knowing lies and being damned. Oh, how I want you to get the truth. Here it is, a little book I've put together. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Letter to Romans. Letter to Timothy. Letter to Colossians. Letter to Thessalonians. Letter to Corinthians. Letter. What is letter? Bible. The Bible murders. What is the Spirit? Spirit of God is what? Love. God is love. Then what murders? Bibles kill. They murder. Didn't just say it caused you to go to sleep. It says it murders you. The Bible murders, but the Spirit, love, makes alive. Now let's go on to this, and I don't want to spend too much time on the Bible part. I've discredited the Bible. If you listen. I've never done that before, but I'm going to wake your ass up tonight if I have to come down there and kiss it. Abraham, you see, was supposed to be the father of us all. And he was an old reprobate that took children and killed them, killed all the people that he didn't like, even their animals. And let his wife go to bed with whoever pleased him to save his own hide. That's in the Bible. You just read it. It's there. But then we get into this thing of the Bible. The Bible doesn't know its ass from a hole in the ground because it traces Jesus through Abraham in Matthew, the first chapter, and Luke, the third chapter. It traces him. But doesn't trace him very well. Matthew says Jesus' father is Joseph. So does Luke. Get this book tonight. You must have it. How many do not have it? They won't be offered too many times, so get it. Matthew says Jesus' father is Joseph. So does Luke say Jesus' father is Joseph. Matthew says Jesus' grandfather, though, is Jacob. But Luke says, no, it's Eli. Don't tell me it's a nickname because there was only one name for Jews. Joseph of Arimathea. They'd say where you were from, but you only had one name. Only one name. Jesus the Christ. Meant Jesus the revolutionary. Jesus the anointing. There wasn't any Jesus James or Jesus Warren or Jesus Matthew or Jesus something else. It was Jesus. That's all it was. Peter. That's all it was. Paul. Paul of where? Tarsus. What it said? Saul of Tarsus meant that the town he came from. So don't tell me that, like these dumb old religions do, that this is just a nickname. It made a mistake. Somebody made a mistake. One says Jesus' grandfather was Jacob. The other one says it's Heli. Then the other one says his great-grandfather was Mathon. Now there is enough to catch you right there. Go home and read it. Matthew 1, verses 1, chapter 1, and 16th verse, and Luke 3, 23. Read it! Because you're being lied to. It's this that's keeping you bound. Then Matthew says his Greek grandfather was Mathon, M-A-T-T-H-A-N, and Luke says it was M-A-T-T-H-A-T. Misspelled it. Now, if a thing like that, one place in the Bible could have a mistake like that, then it ought to be thrown out. And all I know, Billy Graham and all of them, Billy Graham, who stood on our pulpit and in Claypool Hotel, he told all of our assistant ministers, Archie, the Cordells, the Bean, he said, I don't believe anything in that Bible. He said, it's the best way to make a living, I know. And he talked about bringing racial justice with it. Just a big old liar. Billy Graham's a great big liar. He golfs with whoever's president. As long as they're on top, he's with them. He's out praying with Nixon. He was with Kennedy. He was with Johnson. Now Nixon's a little trouble, and he's kind of backing off. He's the prophet of Baal. Don't believe a bit of it. Told me he didn't believe in the Bible. Didn't tell me. He told a whole group, 300 people, didn't believe it. Didn't believe the Bible. He said the Bible was full of mistakes. Now, but they'll say now, well, yes, there are mistakes in the Bible, but it still has truth. Well, I know if a book has mistakes, I'm not going to build my life around that book. And they'll say, well, now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all differ in their accounts of what happened to Jesus and what miracles took place. But it's like this. There are four people on a corner watching an accident. And when four people see an accident, none of them can tell the same story about it. That's true. But we don't listen to four dumb fools on a corner about how to build our life and how to make our life and how to plan to keep from going to hell or heaven. We don't listen to some four stupid asses on a corner and build our whole life around them, do we? You say, but America is so great, and the thing that's made it great is its Christian religion. It's its Jewish Decalogue. Thou shalt not kill. We've murdered more people in Cambodia and Vietnam. We've murdered them with jelly. We've murdered them with cutting off the breast in Chile. Our CIA is doing it now. This great Christian nation's murdering people. Cut out the eyes of a nun that I know in Chile. Cut her eyes out. Thou shalt not kill. We murdered the Indians. We lynched the blacks. We brought them over here in chains. The first man that brought them was this man, King James. He sent the first good ship, Jesus. He's the one that brought you and I. Caused my secretary's great-grandmother, she wouldn't come. She didn't worship no God in the sky. She didn't worship any God, but she was not going to give up her freedom. She jumped off of that ship. She jumped off the good ship, Jesus. She jumped off and went down with her chain. She said, I'd rather drown than be a slave. But King James is the one that brought you here. He's the one that started it. He sent the first good ship, Jesus, under his orders to bring blacks here in chains. And in his Bible, it tells you this Bible. That's why we're in a mess. That's why black people are in such a mess. That's why they're going to come and get me. They can. That's why they're going to come and get me. They can. Sure, they'll try to shoot me. One minister put a contract on me. We know his ass. He's dead, too. You remember in Los Angeles, they called a meeting. Baptist head, they called a meeting. They're going to discuss what to do with Reverend Jones. It all showed up.
I would like to whet the political consciousness where apostolic Christianity is politics. The government is upon his shoulders.
Father?
I do wish to keep this at a high level.
I shall cease these questions. I do mean I shall cease them. I reach them at a higher level. Yes.
Father, I hope I'm not asking a question out of turn, but I want to know, if I may, who come in my room while I was away?
Again, I will reiterate the ground rules. No questions personal. No questions about individual needs or revelations. Otherwise, each person must get on the floor and speak their individual need. I think I've expressed that perhaps now 500 times minimum. I shall hope that in time it will get through to our psyches, because sometimes we put up a barrier. We are not prepared to hear what is being said to the churches by the spirit of the revolution. Not able to embrace what is being said to the churches because we're not yet able to perceive the deep things of God, the revolution. If someone will talk to you, the council is made for that. I was in council from 7:30, I guess, last night until 6 o'clock this morning in that room. And people are there to receive you, and they should answer such fears and concerns. But it should be dealt with on a very human level. And then trust the spirit of this high dimension, this high evolution. Trust the spirit, and it will adjust the matter. If you will project your mind on the mind that is fearless, the mind that is utter compassion, then automatically that situation shall be resolved. One way or another, you shall be delivered out of the midst of this confusion. Or whatever is happening about you will have no significance, because your life will be hid in me, in God. Someone ought to speak to her privately, as one of the ministers should do so, to always give encouragement to those that are, answers will come quicker. If you approach this office as a man, approaches a man, a woman approaches a woman, then you're going to have limitation in your understanding. But if you approach me from a higher law of synchronicity, a higher law of concentration and affirmation, then it will amaze you. I say it will amaze you what will happen in this high Darwinian socialist evolution, in this great magnificent evolvement of the law of life in our revolutionary Christ Jesus. It will amaze you what can and will be done if you reach me on the higher level of mind.
Father, I'm 50 years old, and I want to marry a 66-year-old man. He's asked me to marry him.
In the kingdom, in the revolutionary age, there will be those that are counted worthy to enter into the kingdom. Those that are counted worthy to evolve beyond this birth of the natural flesh, and constantly be coming back into the earth plane. If you seek the higher dimensions of an extraterrestrial world, a perfect socialist world, the first heaven, if I might say, in the vernacular that would perhaps be closer to your relationships. If you seek that first heaven, or that extra dimension, then they that will be worthy shall not enter into, will not give nor receive in marriage. Jesus did not say those that get into heaven would not marry. He said those that would be found worthy to enter into heaven would have laid that aside and separated themselves from that plane of consciousness, because marriage is a part of the property system in this stage of the revolution. Marriage represents the ownership of one individual over the other, either the woman possessing the man or the man possessing the woman. Marriage is a very low state of consciousness in our day. And if you want to be worthy to be found ready for the day that is upon us, then you will separate yourself from such instincts and from such delusions of grandeur or whatever, the delusional system. You shall remove yourself from it and go on to a higher plane. Otherwise, you shall be reborn as John the Baptist was reborn. Jesus said, if you can receive it, this is John the Baptist, which was and is to come. Or Elias had returned as John the Baptist. And we now know that Simon, the husband of Mrs. Letourneau, due to not conquering fears in his dimension, returned the same night as a little baby. And it was prophesied so in this house. So let us overcome, so we do not have to constantly be coming back through this earth plane. For they that overcome, that means those that become a revolutionary, overcome all instincts, all needs. Those that overcome the needs for the flesh and for the possessions of property. Those that deny themselves and become purely socialistic. To him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of the house of revolution, and they will go no more out. It is your choice. It is your choice. It again is a personal question, deviation from the law of this session, that we might grow in knowledge. But it does have application, and it's a good question in that it has application to the total body. You may, I never tell one what to do with my personal intelligence or my own tongue, which is a ready writer that one day is going to write a revolution across the pages and the annals of American history. But I will not tell you personally what you should do or should not do. I will tell you what the highway to holiness is, what the highway to rightness is. And then I set before you an open gate. You may enter or you may not. You may choose to remain on that plane, marrying someone, whether they're 66 or 96, makes no difference to me. Or if they're 26, it makes no difference. If you're 50, you might as well marry someone 96, 66, 26. It's all the same thing.
Father, I've been concerned about a question that was asked during the last session, and I've been giving it much thought, and though I know that you are all wise and will make the decision that will be perfect for all of us, this has been in my thinking. You spoke of whether we should continue healing or teaching, and that has been with me ever since I've left here. And though I have much, materially speaking, much to be desired physically, I sincerely think to the point of knowing that we need to be taught.
The what?
Need to be taught. Because it's only through teaching that we get the understanding. And we, as mortal beings, are bringing into this temple things from the other church.
It's true.
And we're listening to what we say, but we don't hear.
It's true. It's true.
And this is grievous.
Having eyes they see not, having ears they hear not. Neither do they perceive, neither do they understand, because their hearts are not ready to receive.
This is grievous because these are holy grounds. We that have been here even once know that. And I think that we, a lot of us, are hung up because we know that Father loves us to the utmost. But we have a part to play. And the same things that we have been doing, we love some and overlook others. I'm not criticizing because I'm not in the position to criticize. I have weakness, but it is my sincere desire.
It's a very eloquent sermon that you're giving, a very eloquent one. If you would time it in testimony, it would be most appropriate. If you could now direct me to a question so that we will be always keeping the faith that we are equalitarians. The points are well taken. We should leave the milk, these things that are the childish plane, and move on to perfection. It's undoubtedly so. The teachings are what set you free. No one ever read in any religious Bible or any religious work that a healing set you free. Never said that a miracle set you free. But it said when you receive the truth shall set you free.
I think that many of us are going to be very disappointed unless we are taught and learn.
I thank you. Next. I would like to say at this junction, and I do wish some of those that have spoken, I wish to speak, to prepare to speak, because I saw two that I know have a mind to apprehend the highest.
A brief comment I'd like to make. Sister made some remark about we loving some, or something to that effect, if I understood her correctly. And I think if every one of us would look deep enough into ourselves, we would come to the conclusion, as I know that I have, that we don't love anybody but ourselves. And if you think you love someone, let them do something that drastically crosses your purposes, and you find out who you love. I have concluded nobody loves me but Father.
If you did not understand his statement, I guarantee you before you breathe the last in this body, you will understand and you will comprehend that there is only one that loves you, and that is your Father. The tragedy of living, as our dear sister said about learning truth, the old system so hard to get out of the mind. I was just given the eulogy of a man who was called out of the wheelchair by me, the president of the Baptist Church, the treasurer of the Baptist Convention of Texas of 5,000 churches. When I called him out of the wheelchair and healed him so he could read the dead letter, the Bible again, because that's where his heart was. I said, on one condition, that you go back, and I told him Revelations, you remember, that he go back to his place. I'd never met him in my mortal days. It was the first time I'd seen him sitting down there on that front row. But I said, you go back and you tell this friend and that friend, and I named him by name, and women by name, and men by name, that he must speak that this day I have met God face to face, and I have spoken with him as a man would speak with his friend. And I said, if you will keep that faith, you will not die but live. And he kept that faith for a couple of years. He was a man of 88 when he came here, but he kept it for a couple of years to some degree or another. He had no heart. He had a pacemaker. He had diabetes, and he was on insulin. I took that away from him. He had to use it no more. 88 years of age and no more insulin. He went 2 years. The doctor said he didn't need it anymore. But he got up in a church on September 8th in an anniversary for himself, knowing full well that I had preached just a few days before. In Houston, that we never take anniversaries. For you know, I receive no anniversaries, birthdays. My wife receives no pastor's wife's teas. This is discriminatory. This is respected persons. He got up and he spoke. No one told me what he said on that Sunday, but the Spirit. But he spoke these terrible things and even assailed Redwood Valley and said that he was glad that his God was in the sky. Then on the day of his being lowered into the grave on September 11, for he died just 48, 96 hours later, when he began to worship something that did not exist, he had no source for his life. For the moment I felt that come upon me by revelation, I took his picture out of my meditation file, and I said, I am not free, in front of several, I'm not free to meditate on life for Reverend Crane anymore. Because to whom much is given, much is required. I remember so well him standing here and telling us that he was in the Billy Graham crusade, the only black man, hearing them discuss doing away with all the black people. Some of you will remember his remark about that. Some of you will remember his concern about the horror of hearing that in a Billy Graham campaign, a plan to murder all black people. But now someone has given me his obituary. Processional. Scriptures by Dr. P.H. Hinton, Baptist. New Testament, Dr. C. Henry Durden, Baptist. Selection by a choir of one church. Prayer by another doctor that is full of hot air. Choir by another. Another selection by another choir. Dr. M.L. Price, National General Convention of another Baptist church. Then Bishop C.H. Nelson, Texas South Central, and on and on and on. Even had a California, Reverend E.V. Hill, come and give his funeral. All these people, and he tells here, one of his fond remembrances was that he was the only black that served on the Billy Graham Crusade Executive Committee. This is the obituary that he made up to have read before he died. Well, he worshiped an unknown God that does not exist in the skies, and he died, and what a stinking heritage this is as he talks. His memory is praying for, let me see, the great achievements of Dr. Crane. In 1963 to 65, he prayed for world peace for President John F. Kennedy at the Rice Hotel at Mayor Lewis Carter's request. Is that all he did from 1963 to 1965? If that's all he did, I wouldn't talk about it. He prayed at Mayor. All these names are dropped in. He knows everybody. But the one that he knew that brought him back from the dead one time after another, that one that was all important, he had forgotten. And now you'll have happened to him what he did when he was first left. In 1961, it says, he lost his good and faithful wife after a fruitful union of many years. February 29, this too much. February 22, she was lowered in the grave. February 29, now let me get this just exactly straight. I want to be very correct when I say things like this. February 29, 1961, the late Mamie Crane departed this life. February 29, 1961. In March 1961, he met and married the beautiful second Mrs. Crane. Have no fear, Father, God is near. Speak the word. What a memory. What a lie. He puts his picture over the church that threw him out just a few months ago. The church that treated him like dog and scowled and cursed after he'd pastored them since 1925. But he tries to make believe that a lie is how he wants to go by the grave. It's bad enough to go by the grave, but to go with a lie. Picture over the church that threw him out. He was a pastorless preacher when he died. And he touched the ark, which is the most dangerous thing you can do. We took him up in the middle of winter when he had double pneumonia. Took care of him beautifully. Sister Hess and others took care of him so patiently and so gently. He also said, which we did know by letter to a little girl, the name I named out over this assembly, you all heard the comment. Well, the last Sunday that I was here, I mentioned her name and her address. Foster, a little Foster girl. He told her the Redwood Valley was nothing. She didn't want to be there. Just old farmhouses. And he had to live in an old trailer. And he spoke against me in a terrible way to a little child. That is where you make your Waterloo. Don't touch my children. I would do anything I could to help Sister Crane if she wants the light or any of those that follow him. It's interesting that two of his elders also died the same week that stayed with him. For that week before, they divided People's Temple. It was down there and had an anniversary in my environment. Under the auspices of People's Temple, when I have preached every service against such sin. And they had an anniversary in my People's Temple ministry and caused 40 of our people to leave and have no part of it. Well, they're alive to the last one of the 40 that left. They're in good health, in high spirits, in great vitality. But in 1 week, the 17 that stayed with him, 3 of them are dead. Something to consider. I would like to stir up your pure imagination all over this assembly, throughout the offering rooms and in the dining rooms, throughout the secretarial departments above, in the financial room and the counseling room. I want every voice to hear, every ear to hear what I have to say to the temples of the Most High. Some of you are seeking a reward. You are seeking heaven. You are seeking a promised land. And because your Father loves you, he provides what you have to have. He meets you on your level. For always, that's the way the Spirit of Truth operates. It'll meet you where you are. It will not put on you more than you're able to bear. And so you have been provided a beautiful city, a substitutionary heaven across the sea. A heaven that is greater even in degree than the heaven that you dreamed about that never existed. For there never was any heaven. There never was any hell but that which man with his own hands made. And I hear the yearnings of good people saying, who shall I be in the next life? Where will I sit with you? Will I be close to you? I hear some saying throughout this congregation that you are a bride of Christ. That you are the true bride of Christ. That in the next day, the next age, you will be my wife. I hear dreams and fantasies. Delusions, illusions, hallucinations of the greatest and most vivid type of diabolical possession. I hear all these foolish notions of the sincere people that I love. And I told you yesterday, if you seek your life, you will lose it. If you find it, you lose it. If you lose it,
you find it.
I want this assembly to be prepared to realize that when I say I am God, Jesus said I am God. When they took him away in that lesser day of yesterday, 2,000 years ago, for anything that is before is lesser than that which has come after. And when they took him away, he did not know what was in the hearts of people. He said, for what good work are you taking me away? For what good work are you stoning me? They said, for no good work, but because you being a man, make yourself God. Jesus said, it is written, ye all are gods. And after this, the gods that follow me, these things shall they do, and greater, because I have come and gone back to the Father. And it said, after they had killed all those that had been sent, the servants of the men that was the lord of the house, or the master of the fields, the god of the farmland, said, after they'd taken all the prophets and even killed the son, said, finally, in the last day, the Father himself would come. Not the son, not the servants, but God himself would come. The ultimate, the highest evolutionary hope, the summum bonum of your expectation. Said, there will come a time, Jesus said, when you will no longer pray to me, but you will speak to God directly, and I will call you friends, and you will speak to your Father, person to person, on a direct line. I'm converting the language to suit your need. But he said, each man would approach the Father for themselves. And that day has come when the Father has approached you and you have approached him. The account of Scripture says that Jesus raised one, at most two, from the dead. And they were told by parables of King James's lies, which cannot be interpreted because he is a slave master, a bigoted king, man that brought our first people into slavery, King James of England, brought our precious black ancestors here in chains on the good ship Jesus. This is not what I'm after for you that are in the house that are faithful, so you stay with it because you're going to get what I'm aiming at in a moment. King James tells us what happened about Jesus. And you were not there. You were not there. And yet, at best, only one raised from the dead. Every day, every service, someone is raised from the dead in this administration. Yesterday, cancers went away from the breast. Growths dissolved. Growths spit up. Cripples walked. Woman in an accident that had been injured and her back injured her neck. There she is this morning. And just a word. Just one word, and it was made whole. For the strangers, how many have I healed of strokes in this room? How many have I healed of cancer in this room? Look at the young woman back there in the back, that's white dress, black, beautiful, white dress. She had cancer and was paralyzed, both with a stroke. See her perfectly made whole on the back row, waving her hands at you now. Paralyzed with a stroke, then died. But I said, it is not my will that you die, but it is my will that you live to see the revolution. And I brought her back from her paralysis. I brought her back from death. And now she lives, both now and forevermore. How many have I healed, I presume, of every disease? How many have I healed of kidney or bladder trouble? How many have seen me raise the dead hundreds and hundreds of times? How many have been given prophecies that have saved by me your lives and your loved ones' lives? How many have been healed of physical blindness? Think of that. Yes, blind with a cane, seeing eye dog, blind and raised from the dead three times. All sorts of miracles. I've walked on the water. I've gone through fire. I've been shot down. I've been knifed. No man can do these things. Jesus said when they called him the prince of devils, he said, no man can do these things. No devil can do these things. All good things come from God. It is good that I healed you. How many have I freed from jails of your loved ones? How many have a loved one that I freed from jail? He was a three-time loser, the young man that just stood up. And I said, I shall free you. And I've kept him free all these years when he was to be put away for life. Hundreds of hands go up. Last night, a woman who has been in and out of here, gone back and forth from Holiness Church to here, but one time generously gave her car for these people to use. Generously and charitably gave her car. She ended up in prison. Her husband, so evil, her Holiness husband, put her in jail, charged her with theft, though she was not been in this church for some several weeks. That's what happens when you don't stay close to the body. Peace and love. And that woman was ready to be extradited to Texas without one person to help her. Not one. Facing 5 years in prison. But this afternoon, my workers are going to get her this coming Tuesday. An attorney, a powerful people, because I know people in high places and I know people in low places. This coming Tuesday, he will go by with the money that her husband has falsely charged her and a store has falsely charged her of stealing years ago in San Antonio. They will go by and will release her out of her misery, because I never forget one thing. Peace and love. She has this one last time an opportunity to gain knowledge and enter into this haven of rest and haven of divine work. She did nothing for me, but she did something for you. When she loaned some of my people her car, she was helping me. And I never forget. Yesterday I healed a woman. Her daughter was antagonistic to me. I healed her of cancer of the breast. I also healed her daughter of female cancer, even though her daughter was speaking against me, because I love that woman. And when I love that woman, I will put up with my enemies as long as they are important to you. I will put up with them. I say that they should not be important. And I healed her of cancer of the breast, this woman that just stood. Stand again, they might look. The cancer disappeared, didn't it? All the sensitivity and pain in the nodule gone, aren't you? Beautiful. That's yesterday's work. But I tell you, if you want to come up to the plane, and I want no one to be out of the room now. I want you in the room. If you want to come up to the plane that I am now in, if you want to enter into this rest of conscience, in the work of the physiological process and the manual skills and dexterity, the biological process and the manual components of the body, but it's a rest of conscience. If you wish to enter into the place that I am and go no more out into the world of suffering, pain, death, disease, selfishness, and decay, then you must deny yourself. You must deny yourself concern about even having a future reward. You must not even think about wanting the promised land. You must not want even to think about having an immortal soul. You must deny yourself and present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God the revolution. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. To present your body as a tool. Maybe it's just a tool to ignite a fire that will burn down some prison system of the oppressive devils of capitalism. People sit in this room and say, will our cause work? Our cause has already worked. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This is not the only people I have in the world. Many people are doing my works that do not name me by name, but they name my spirit, and my spirit is winning the battle. Twenty years ago in China, under the dominion of the white masters and Christian missionaries, China was...